Welcome to Encounter, a co-production of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio and EWTN Radio, and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Encounter brings you the life-changing encounters of ordinary people that launch into lives of extraordinary mission. My name is Dan Dimite, and I'm joined here in studio with my brother in Christ, Patrick Rice.
Hey, Dan.
What is up, Patrick?
I'm so excited.
Yeah, today we have Pure Fire. We have a great friend of ours, David, coming on the show. He has just been an amazing missionary for the Lord, just doing power evangelization, not only in the United States, but in Canada and Italy.
We're well, Dan, here. Well, how is evangelization supposed to be?
It's always supposed to be powerful.
Yeah!
But you're going to hear just great stories of signs and wonders happening, not just in the past, but in our present today, that the Lord is using David in amazing ways to bring about his kingdom here and now. Patrick, can you open us in prayer?
Absolutely. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, we thank you, we praise you, that you came to bring heaven to earth in love and power, that you modeled a way for us to proclaim and demonstrate the kingdom, that the Spirit of God that dwelled in you dwells in us right now. It rose you from the dead, and it's going to raise our nation from the dead in Jesus' name. So Lord, we pray for a special grace, the power of the Holy Spirit that convicts hearts, that leads us to righteousness, and deposes the ruler Satan of the world so that we may reign and bring your kingdom. We thank you, God, for everything you're going to do in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your grace, your power, for giving us the gift of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray that we would be obedient servants, that we would do whatever you ask us to do, that we would hear your voice and follow through on your commands, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would give us the strength and the courage to act boldly and to no longer run away, Lord, when you're inviting us to power evangelization. Lord, I pray that you would fill us up right now. Right now, Lord, fill all of your listeners with boldness and courage, with a newfound just breakthrough over all fear in our lives. Fear be gone in the name of Jesus. We pray all this in Jesus' holy name.
Amen.
All right. Patrick, just David's story is so beautiful. He just has this beautiful conversion story where Our Lady just led him to the power and the glory of Jesus Christ. And then Our Lady has just kind of been this this leader in his faith journey all through his life, and inviting him to do the works of Jesus every day of his life. So could you just share with us kind of how Our Lady partners with the Holy Spirit?
Absolutely. And I think it's really important. I mean, I love what God is doing right now. He's uniting the church. He's uniting the body of Christ. And one of the big stumbling blocks that we found as we're pursuing unity with our brothers and sisters is that, like, Mary, this, like, devotion, this honor that we have to Our Lady, it almost comes off as a competition between Mary and Jesus, or Mary and the Holy Spirit. Like, why do we need Mary? What's her role? And I just want to say right now, I know we have a lot of non-Catholic listeners on our show, but I just want to be very clear. Mary is not in competition with Holy Spirit. Hmm. They're not in competition at all. In fact, Mary helps us to a greater union with Holy Spirit. And I want to start off by answering your question, Dan, with a quote from Pope John Paul II, okay? And he said this. He said, "In the church and for the church, mindful of Jesus' promise, Mary waits for Pentecost and implores a multiplicity of gifts for everyone in accordance with each one's personality and mission. In every age, Mary's powerful intercession obtains for the church an ever-fresh outpouring of the enlightening and strengthening gifts of the Holy Spirit."
Wow.
End quote. So really quick, we have to remember that when Jesus, before he ascended, he said, go and wait. Wait and pray. And what do? They waited and they prayed in the upper room. And who was there? It was all the apostles and Mary together in that place. And we almost forget that when we're praying for outpouring of the Holy Spirit, there's that wait and pray. And what did she do? She waited and she prayed for the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so from her intercession at that moment, she doesn't stop praying for all of the church to have the gifts that he wants to give us so that we can complete our mission, okay? And that's what Pope John Paul II is tying the gifts to mission. And I love that David's going to be sharing that these gifts aren't just fireworks that everyone can, you know, go, wow, yay, and then walk away and go back home to their carnal, you know, false Christian lives, but they're actually to lead us into an invitation of that very life that is in us to be upon the world around us. So that's really key right there. And also, I think that Mary actually God uses Mary. He's used Mary to demonstrate what a spirit-filled life looks like from the beginning. And so if you go back, like before Pentecost, we have this story from Luke chapter 1. Okay, that's the prima part of the gospel, chapter 1. And the when Gabriel came to Mary, he said, "Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord will give him the throne of David, his father. And he will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." But Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I have no relations with a man?" And the angel said to her in reply, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." So that overshadowing of the Holy Spirit is the first like outpouring of the Holy Spirit that anyone had. And so I think it's awesome. Like, listeners, do you want to be overshadowed by the Holy Spirit?
I know I do.
Yeah, I mean, and so that's the invitation. I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to walk into that. Mary, can you please pray that this person, the Holy Spirit, who made Jesus present in you, who was your mystical spouse, I want to Jesus to be birthed in my life in a greater way. I want to be overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. And so that's, I think, it's not a conflict. It's an invitation. It's not, do I want Mary to lead me or Jesus or the Holy Spirit to lead me? It's Holy Spirit, and Mary can have an awesome intercession. And I love that we have someone in our studio right now, Dan, that has lived a life that can witness to that.
Yeah, and Mary is almost like the model of receptivity to the charisms of the Holy Spirit and to the person of the Holy Spirit, right? Like that she perfectly receives them and with such humility, saying, "Let it be done unto me according to thy word," right? That it wasn't, Mary surrendered her own agenda to the Father's agenda, and as a result, the Holy Spirit was able to overshadow her. And isn't that the surrender of our faith, that we need to surrender our agenda to the Father's agenda?
Yeah. And that's the key, that she is the prototype of the Spirit-filled Christian life.
Exactly. Does it make sense that Mary should have conceived a son in her womb?
No, not in a natural sense.
Yeah,
not
that,
at all.
Right? Like she said, she had no relations with the man. She was out of wedlock. There was all of this, like, for all of her natural reasoning, it would have been like, whoa, God, this is a bad idea. But she surrendered to the will of God. And she almost, in a sense, she just fell into trust. And the Holy Spirit was able to move powerfully when she had trust. And I think that's, listeners, I think that's one thing that the Lord's inviting you to today, that you're going to be inspired through David's witness of his boldness, but his also just his deep humility of trusting that God is who he says he is, and he is going to fulfill his promises. And Our Lady just trusted, even though it didn't make sense in her natural reason, she trusted that God was a good father who was going to fulfill his promises in her life. And that's what we're about. And then we see Patrick, Our Lady, actually at the heart of the first miracle in Jesus's life, right?
Yeah.
We're at the wedding feast of Cana. And so Mary's receptivity to the Holy Spirit, she brings that receptivity into this secular environment at a normal wedding ceremony, right, where she's gathered with family and friends, and she doesn't just take the Holy Spirit and, you know, like keep the power of God in her own family or in the synagogue. She actually brings the presence of God wherever she goes at this simple wedding ceremony, right? With family and friends. I think sometimes we're most afraid to evangelize to our family and friends, aren't we? Like, mm-hmm. There's the deepest need and the deepest, we see the needs around us so often with our family and friends, but we're afraid to speak God's power there. But that wasn't the case with Our Lady. She actually, instead, she spoke boldly. So what's the situation at the wedding feast, right? They run out of wine.
Yeah, and they need more alcohol.
Yeah. Oh, man, this was the foreshadowing, a prototype of a future Catholic wedding,
yes.
Right? No, and so...
Sorry, Protestant listeners.
Yeah, no, okay. So she's there, and they're like, "Oh, we need more wine." And that's where she goes up to Jesus, and she says, they've run out of wine. It says she sees the need, and she brings it to Christ. And that is what we're called to do as disciples, to see the needs around us and to bring them to Christ. What you're going to hear in David's power evangelization stories is that when he sees a need, he doesn't just say, "Oh, man, I'm sorry that you're suffering right now." He takes that need, and he presents it to Jesus. And when you present the needs of others to Christ, what does Jesus do? He fulfills the need. Right? Isn't that amazing? And so when we see someone broken and hurting, are we presenting their needs to Christ? When we see someone in need of healing, are we presenting their needs to Christ? And that's what Our Lady does. She just takes the need. She sees it first and foremost. So she's outside of herself. She's looking and looking and surveying the scene. What's the need? And then she brings it to Jesus. And what does Jesus do, Patrick?
Oh, he brings heaven to earth.
There's
no lack in heaven.
Right?
Yeah.
I love Our Lady. Initially, Jesus, he says, woman, what does this have to do with me? Right? But Mary's boldness initiates Jesus's activity, right? It initiates Jesus's action and his miracles. And so Our Lady says to the servants, do whatever he tells you. And I think this is almost the motto of Christianity. If I am a follower of Christ, I am to do whatever he tells me. And sometimes, like at the Annunciation, sometimes Jesus says some crazy things. He's like, hey, like the Holy Spirit is going to overshadow you and you're going to conceive, right? But we want to do whatever he tells us. And when we're ministering to people, when we're seeing people's needs, we want to, whatever he's telling us to do, we want to follow his word. And so are we listening to the voice of Jesus? Are we seeing the needs around us? And then are we acting on those needs? And when the servants do what Jesus tells them to do, what happens?
Yeah, like miracles.
Miracles.
Yeah.
And so if we want to see signs and wonders, and this is the amazing thing. This is the first miracle in the Gospel of John, right? It was the first sign that the kingdom of God was at hand. And when we see the needs of others, we respond by bringing those needs to Jesus, and then we boldly do whatever Jesus tells us to do, we're going to see miracles.
And
that's exactly what we see in David's life and in his ministry. And that's what God wants for everyone, right? Patrick, do you want to just share a story real quick about like when you heard the Lord telling you something crazy and you did it and God brought the kingdom down to earth?
Absolutely. I mean, it wasn't too long ago. I was at Johnson's Ice Cream. It's this Bexley
local ice cream parlor.
Columbus,
yeah,
you know,
you
do
need
a pilgrimage and then, you know, get some refreshment at Johnson's. And there was a woman that came in on a walker, and she was by herself and she was ordering a banana split. All right. I don't know about you, but it looked like the idea of her with a walker trying to carry a banana split to her table, it broke my heart.
Mm.
I know. So like, I remember like, I know that in heaven, there's no walkers. Right.
Yeah.
And I know that like she's by herself and I'm feeling this like pain and I'm just like, oh my gosh. So she ordered and she was looking around like for a friend or something that wasn't there yet. And so I went up to her and I said, hey, can I help you bring this to your table? And I initiated an encounter. And then, you know, I invited her, I said, do you have anyone to sit with? And she says, no, I'm just by myself. And so I invited her to sit with my family. And my dad was there. He's a deacon and my family, my kids. And I ended up just kind of getting to the point. I said, hey, Martha, I'm just going to call her Martha. This might sound weird, but I'm from a church that prays for people and Jesus shows up and like heals and you look like you're in pain. Are you in like physical pain right now? And she starts to describe the issue and her inability to walk and the swelling that was there. And I just pray with my kids, you know, we made it a family affair. And as we prayed, the swelling went down. She was able to move her leg all the way back, which prevented her from walking. And she was able to walk at that place right there.
Praise break.
Yeah,
thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. That's awesome.
And it was just totally normal.
Yeah.
And it was just like, oh, there is a need. We pray to Jesus and he loves to come and move because we have faith. And what did Jesus do? He made water into new wine. It was new wine. And what was Pentecost? It was new wine being poured out. You know, they thought, are these people drunk? No, they're filled with new wine.
Yeah.
And when we get filled with the new wine of the Holy Spirit, we can move in that same faith, bringing heaven to earth.
Amen. Amen. We're going to hear just an incredible testimony right when we come back. You're listening to Encounter, a co-production of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. When we get back, you're going to hear a life-changing encounter. So stay tuned.
It's time for your favorite EWTN program, but there's no radio? No problem. Download the EWTN app at EWTN.com/mobile and enjoy on-demand live streams of your favorite EWTN radio and TV shows right now.
Teresa Tomeo.
Every time I go to Mass and see my husband serving on the altar as a deacon, it hits me how, with God, all things are possible. I mean, there is no way that we should be still married, number one, based on all the problems we had. But number two, the fact that I'm in Catholic media and my husband is a deacon is simply a testimony to the power of God and the teachings of the church that saved our marriage and, more importantly, our souls.
Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
The Holy Father's prayer intention for the month of September is that our parishes, animated by a missionary spirit, may be places where faith is communicated and charity is seen.
Welcome back to Encounter, the show that brings you the life-changing encounters of ordinary people that launch them into lives of extraordinary mission. My name is Dan Dimite, and I'm joined here in studio with my brother in Christ, Patrick Rice.
Hey, brother.
And we have David Messina in studio.
Yay!
What's up, David?
Hey, what's up?
So David is a 29-year-old, born and raised in Canada, right? Yeah, Canada. We love you, Canada. He's just been doing power evangelization with his life. He's partnered with the Holy Spirit in and through the Blessed Mother, and he's just like living life in Christ so beautifully. So we're so excited to have you with us in studio. David, could you share just a little bit about what life was like for you growing up and how the Lord just conquered your heart?
Yeah, sure. So yeah, I grew up in Toronto, Ontario. I was baptized Catholic, but I grew up in a pretty nominally Catholic household. So, I mean, my parents are totally awesome, but I think they just slipped through the cracks of catechesis and really like encounter with Jesus. So family prayer, we didn't really grow up doing that. I mean, we would go to Mass sometimes, and I was really blessed because my dad's sister, my aunt, she lived at home with us, and she was definitely a prayer warrior. And I know that I wouldn't be where I am today if it wasn't for her example and her prayers. But yeah, growing up, we just didn't really pray, didn't really practice. And so, you know how it goes when there's a void of God in your life, the world just floods in. And then so I can look back and I can look back to like fifth grade and see that I was already pretty off track. And so that just kind of continued. I just took on a lot of wrong role models, and I just started idolizing a very worldly life. And so in high school, did a lot of partying, just had a lot of sin and addiction in my life. But thanks be to God, I had a really awesome high school teacher in my junior year. And
were you at a Catholic school or a public school?
I was, yeah. So I grew up going to Catholic school, yeah. It's hit or miss, right? Yeah. So you need to have like a teacher that's just on fire with the faith to actually have that communicated to you. And what happened was I was, in my junior year, and I had this teacher whose sister was actually a poor Clare nun in like the mother house in Assisi.
Wow,
and he used
sweet.
To send like the list of his students to his sister and like the her nuns, and they would just pray for the conversion of his crazy students. And I just remember receiving a real special grace from the Holy Spirit during that class, where I just realized I wanted to be happy. And I knew that living my Catholic faith would produce the happiest life.
Mm.
And so I just started trying to do that. And I mean, I just started with like, okay, like I want to like follow the commandments. And I quickly realized that I couldn't do that on my own. And to the point where I kind of thought it was impossible to even keep the commandments for like one day. So there was just, I just did a lot of falling on my face. But there were two like really key moments. One was my mom, found out about a Militia of the Immaculata retreat that was happening in my area. And so the Militia of the Immaculata, it's a movement founded by Saint Maximilian Kolbe, spreads consecration, to Our Lady. And, anyways, I went on that retreat because I was open to it, and I just had a lot of firsts. The first thing was I knew that I needed to go to confession. And, you know, they had confession like one of the first days. And I remember just like making a really like sincere, honest, and good confession. And I remember we were in such a good environment that I just like had no opportunity to sin. So mass followed shortly after that. And I remember for the first time in my life receiving Jesus, knowing that it was Jesus and knowing that I was in a place to receive him. Mm. And I remember just like this thought just kept on like playing, like it was, oh my goodness, I just received Jesus. And then it was like a tape and it would like rewind. And I'm like, I just received Jesus. And it just like kept on going. And I just experienced so much like joy and just love in that moment. And also on that retreat, made my consecration to Our Lady. I didn't really know too much of like the theology behind this, but all I knew was that Our Lady was our mother. She loves me. She desires my happiness more than I do. Jesus never refuses her anything, and the devil hates her. And so, like,
that's a good list.
Just with that list of things, I remember making my consecration to her, right? And it's like, you know, we're giving ourselves to Jesus through her. But I also remember that we wrote like a letter to Our Lady during that retreat. And I remember like just giving her like a laundry list of all of the sins that needed to get cut out of my life, just all of the things that needed fixing. And I remember getting that letter back 6 months later. They you know, like we addressed it to ourselves and the group sent it back to us. And I remember like opening that up and just bawling because every single grace that I asked Our Lady for, she obtained, and in a degree that I didn't even know was possible. So what ended up actually like happening, so I kind of like fast forwarded there, but I had this awesome encounter on this retreat, but I went home and I was just like back in my old environment, and I just like fell back into like all my old sins, all my old filth. It was like a dog like returning to his vomit, you know. It's just
I bet a lot of people listening can identify with that. Maybe like you've done that, or your kids have done that. You know, they go to a Steubenville conference or some kind of a retreat, and they have this amazing encounter with the person of Jesus, and then all of a sudden they go back into their past life, the dog returning to its vomit. So how did the Lord and how did Our Lady take you out of that?
Yeah, so like I wasn't in it for too much longer. It was just like a few months. And I remember, so that was like during the summer going into my senior year. And then like early on in my senior year, I remember coming home one day from school, and then this thought popped into my head, and it was, I think I want to pray the rosary. And I'd never prayed the rosary on my own before in my entire life. So I just started walking around my house. I found a like plastic blue rosary. I found a pamphlet on how to pray it, and I found this beautiful image of Our Lady. And then I went down into my room. I was like living in the basement at the time, because like as a high schooler, I just wanted to be as far away from my parents as possible. But I remember just like getting on my knees and praying this rosary, and like just like a few Hail Marys in, I knew that I wasn't alone in my basement room, and that Jesus and Mary were right there, and I felt like they were just holding me in their love. And then all I could do was just weep. I just wept and wept. I was just like so overwhelmed by their love. I felt like they were just like welcoming me home. And it's just really funny, because I like had like this consciousness of like, you know, they had like every right to just like shake their finger at me and like tell me what a wretched child I've been, but instead they just like held me in their love. And I remember during that rosary, I also like had this like revelation or realization that like the sins that I was committing before, they was just like, I'm trying to cut these things out of my life, and I know that like I shouldn't be doing them, and they were just like rules that I kept on like messing up and breaking. And I really realized that my sins crucified our Lord, and that I just owned that. Like, I knew that I was responsible for our Lord's crucifixion. And it's like, so I had like these like tears of contrition, but it was just like the sweetest contrition, because it was accompanied with so much love. And I remember like going to bed like shortly after that and waking up the next morning, and literally everything was different. Like, oh, it was funny, because like the first thing that I realized was I smoked a lot, and we just have like, you know, your routine. So you wake up, you have your morning smoke. And I like that morning, I realized like, oh, I'm not addicted to cigarettes anymore.
Yeah.
And then like, as the day went on, I realized that all the other typical things that I would be doing that was like just cutting me off from the life of God and just causing so much darkness and sadness to come over my life, I just had no desire for them anymore. God just completely took those off of my radar.
Oh, wow. And can you just pray real quick, David, for any of our listeners who are struggling with addictions, that they would be set free from those?
Yeah, Father, in the name of Jesus, I just break and rebuke all addiction, spirit of addiction, in the name of Jesus. Leave right now.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Come, Father, just release freedom upon our listeners right now. Father, just give us the that experience and just the glorious freedom of the children of God. We are your children, and we are not meant to be slaves. We are not meant to be bound in any way. And so, Father, just release freedom. Unfetter the captives in Jesus' mighty name.
Lord, I pray that what you did in David's life, you can do in other people's lives right now. Come, Holy Spirit, you, breaking addictions is possible. I just declare that this is possible. You have accomplished it in one man's life. You can accomplish it in others' lives, Lord. So I just pray that you would prove your glory, Lord, and bring your freedom. Jesus, you have come to set the free, the captives free. Do what you have come to do. Thank you, Jesus.
God.
Amen.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. I just thank you, Jesus, for accomplishing that work in David's life. And so you were experiencing these habitual actions in your life, and you're experiencing a freedom and even a distaste for them. What happens next?
Yeah. So it was crazy, because it was just like all of these like major sins just like got pulled out of my life, and then God just like flooded so much joy into my life that I was just like beside myself. Like, I couldn't believe how happy and how joyful like one could actually be. And yeah, awesome. So I was just like just living on a cloud, and really like at the same time I was just drawn more and more to prayer. So like before, I was just like, I was the one doing the keg stands and like just going crazy at the party.
What's a keg stand?
I actually don't know. But
yeah, we'll just leave
keep
that.
Going.
Yeah,
edit that, Dave.
But yeah, and then now I just like wanted to just spend my Friday nights before the Blessed Sacrament in adoration, and like, yeah, like that week, like, you know, I remember like getting to confession, and then like really quickly, like, daily mass just became like a daily necessity. And I like remember just like, I used to just like count down the hours before I could receive Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament again, because that was just like, I mean, it was, and it still is like heaven on earth. Like, I cannot comprehend just how intimate and how close God brings himself to us. And yeah, so really it's just like God just unleashed just an incredible intimacy in prayer in my life. And then like really it was kind of crazy, because like within a month I was just like, this is so amazing. Like, I just want to give my entire life to God. I just want to spend my entire life bringing people, as many people as possible, into meeting this God who loves us so, so much, and who just gives us so much joy and peace and life. And so I was just like very like, almost like naturally, but I was just like, I think I want to be a priest. And like, it was weird because I was like, I didn't really tell anyone though, because, you know, everyone knew who I was in my high school like a month ago. So I was just like, okay, I'm just going to keep on praying and then we'll see how this continues to unfold. And yeah, it's just, it reminds me of, what one of the leaders at this retreat that I went to, like, that Militia of the Immaculata retreat that I went to, like, she said, when you consecrate yourself to Our Lady, hold on to her mantle because she's going to take you for the ride of your life.
Yeah.
And it's just been like nothing but an incredible, crazy adventure ever since. And like, I wouldn't want to be without any of the experiences that I've had since then.
Wow. So we're going to hear a little bit of these adventurous tales of David Messina. Okay. But we're going to take a break first. You're listening to Encounter, a co-production of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio and EWTN Radio, and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. We're going to be right back.
EWTN is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. If your cable or satellite provider doesn't carry EWTN's full programming lineup, give them a call and let them know you would like to receive EWTN 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
For more information, go to EWTN.com and click on television.
Raymond Arroyo.
Part of the success we've had on the world over, I attribute to the audience, my relationship with Mother Angelica, and her teaching me that when you sit with someone, you talk to them, and you create an environment where they will tell you things they wouldn't tell anyone else. That ease, that humor, that warmth, she gave me that, and that's what I try to impart and make a part of every interview we do on the world over.
The world over. Tomorrow, 3 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Hello and welcome back to Encounter, the show that brings you the life-changing encounters of ordinary people that launch them into lives of extraordinary mission. My name is Dan Dimitay, and I'm joined here with my brother in Christ, Patrick Rice.
I'm so excited for this, Dan.
Oh, yeah. We are listening to the extraordinary life and testimony of David Messina, and he's just sharing about how the Lord captured your heart. And now we want to can you share about the mission that the Lord has called you on? You know, like Our Lady, she saw the needs around her. She said, they have no wine. And then she just like brought that need to Christ and said, do whatever he tells you. So like, how did the Lord start calling you to this point where you were just like, okay, I'm starting to see the needs around me more clearly. And now I'm going to bring these needs to the Lord and allow the Holy Spirit just to make signs and wonders happen.
Yeah. So, I think like it began when I ended up coming to Catholic Youth Summer Camp a couple years back as a friar. So I was with the Franciscans of the Immaculate for a number of years, for 6 years. And I just remember, I think my first encounter at that camp, it just started a hunger and thirst for the Holy Spirit more and more in my life. And I just felt... I felt myself just getting drawn more and more to the Holy Spirit, to the point where actually I ended up getting permission to make like a 9-day silent retreat in like a hermitage, like in preparation for Pentecost.
Oh, wow.
And I remember like one of the questions I was asking, like, what are like the gifts, like what are the charisms that I can flow in? And I just remember like writing in my journal, healing, and then a question mark. And I remember like Mark 16:17, like continually coming up in my prayer and just in my meditation. And that's like the line, these signs will accompany those who believe. They will, you know, ... They'll lay their hands upon the sick and they'll recover. And I was just like, I felt myself being more and more prompted to really believe that that is just supposed to be a normal experience for all
Christians. Can you do that scripture again? I don't know if our listeners caught it.
All right. So yeah, Mark 16:17. Maybe I should just pull it out to make sure I say it right. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. And then ... And they will lay their hands upon the sick and they will recover. So, yeah, I felt myself being drawn more and more, and then it ended up really just like I have this real big breakthrough when I came to camp the next year, and I was with Patrick, and he invited myself and another one of the brothers that I was with to go over to this man's house to pray for him and over him. He had been experiencing like excruciating, like neck pain. And it was just, he was in a lot of pain. And it was going on for a good amount of time. Like how long was
there? There was an injury.
Yeah.
He was going to have to go to have spine surgery.
Yeah.
And I don't know if we have any doctors in the that are listening, but that's a pretty risky procedure.
Mm.
And there is a chance that it could help him, but it could also actually make things worse.
Yeah.
So the family had contacted Encounter Ministries to have a team go out and pray for him. That's something we'll do on occasion. And
yeah.
That's when we met.
Yeah. So anyways, that was really, really awesome because we prayed for him for a good amount of time that night. And I just saw how Patrick was really just being led by the Spirit in the prayer. And we did a lot of, he was prompted to do a number of also prophetic actions in the prayer, to just get him to do different things while we were praying. And yeah, it was like a gradual kind of thing that we saw a little progress, like as we would check back with him. And then by the end of the night, he was just completely healed.
Wow.
And
thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah. No surgery had to happen. The family was restored. Praise
you. Oh my goodness. So that just pumped me up so much. Cause I'm like, yes, like this is real. And I think I can flow in this. And so I remember I got, in the fall, I got sent to Rome to study over at the Angelicum with my community. And Rome is awesome because there's like a gajillion people everywhere. And I remember just like the first time I just like saw this this man with a cane over by the subway, and I just walked up to him and I'm like, oh, you know, like what happened? And he's like, oh, I had like a soccer injury a while ago. And I hadn't really like seen like personally like any healings like on my part. So I was just like, well, hey, I got like a bunch of friends from Ohio and they see like healings and miracles all the time. Can I pray for you? And so that's like how it started. But the guy like is like, oh my goodness, like the pain's gone. And I was like, yes, it's real. And he's like, and Jesus is doing it through me too now. And it just kind of like grew and grew from there. One of the most like delightful experiences that I've had over in Rome would be praying for the Muslims from Bangladesh who like
wow.
sell like the selfie sticks and the umbrellas and the water to all the tourists because they're like all friends. And I remember going to Piazza Venezia after class one day, and I was with a friend and we're just like, okay, we're just gonna pray for people. And you know, like the first person we were able to pray for was one of these guys who were selling the selfie sticks. And like he was healed, I think, of like back pain. And then like immediately he's like, hey, guys, like my back is all better. And then he just like called all of his friends. So we were there. I think I prayed for like every single selfie stick seller in Piazza Venezia.
How did you do that?
Day.
Were you praying in the name of Jesus? Or
yeah, so that's that was also really special because you know, like these guys were Muslims, but like I would pray because that's how I have been seeing healing. Like I would just say like back in the name of Jesus be healed, like like leg in Jesus's name be healed. And then afterwards, as we're like talking and celebrating, I would also just like very gently just like remind them like it was in Jesus's name that you were healed. Like he loves you so much. Like he's such a good God. And yeah, and you know, I wouldn't get like apologetical with them.
Renounce your faith.
Yeah.
We're gonna go in the fountain now.
But I mean, they would be rejoicing in the fact that Jesus healed them as well. And what's cool about them is like they would like really come with just like a really beautiful, like simple faith, or like just like simplicity. And it was like oftentimes when like through their enthusiasm, then like other tourists who were in the area who are like a lot harder to approach just because like everyone's trying to sell them things or ask them for things, they would be like coming up on their own accord. And I remember like this like tourist from China just coming up, and he's like, he saw the other guys get healed, and he's like, can you like pray for my head? I just had like, I've been having like this like terrible like migraine for like the last like 2 years. And yeah, and then God just like completely like healed him of that. And it's just, yeah.
He was from China. Was he a Christian?
That's like my fault. Like I sometimes like I don't go deep enough with like and talking with them. It's it depends on the circumstances, but I don't actually remember.
That's crazy.
But
you're just still freaked out that people actually get healed, aren't you?
Yeah. You know what? I don't think this should ever get old, and we should always like, I always just try to like always just see every healing as just like the first healing that I've seen, and just like, God, you are so amazing. And I'm also just so blown away at how I've like been activated in this has also just like changed and like revolutionized like my prayer life, because you know, now I'm interacting with a father who like I like know definitely has heard me, you know. And and also just like seeing God's love poured out on other people, I think it's just like opened up my heart more and more to just hunger for his love, hunger for his face, and for intimacy with him. And yeah, I mean, just it's incredible, like the kind of power that the Holy Spirit can bring. Because I mean, you know, I had like my like initial conversion like 12 years ago, and I was all set on fire to want to bring people to a powerful encounter with Christ. And it's only like within the last year that I've like, wait a second, like it's Holy Spirit that like can bring about a life-changing encounter in a person's life in like a 2 minute interaction. And I've seen, like, I remember like being on the subway, and I struck out this conversation with like this dude that looked pretty rough, like but we were just talking, and like as the conversation was winding to an end, I was like, oh, you know, like I always just like love to pray for people. Is there anything that like I can pray for you for, especially like for physical healing? And he's like, no. I'm an atheist. I'm an atheist. I don't believe in God.
I don't qualify.
Yeah. And I was like, you know, that doesn't matter. And he was like off the subway and he was on the platform, and he's like, but yeah, like my knee hurts. And then I was just like, okay. And I like jumped off the subway as like the doors were closing, and I'm like, okay, we got to pray.
Was it your stop?
No, it wasn't. That's yeah, awesome. It was a very frequent thing. I would just take a lot longer to get home every day.
Where am I?
Yeah. So, yeah. And then we were just able to like pray on the subway platform. And I remember like, yeah, God just like brought like heat and like total healing to his knee. And I remember this encounter so distinctly, because like I felt like I just like saw the shift that like happened in him. And I just saw that shift from unbelief to belief. And like immediately, like I saw that door open, and I was just able to pour truth and just like how much God loves him, how much he's like just like watched him for his whole life and delighted in him. And I just saw how that experience of healing was not only able to open the door to faith, but it was also able to just like open them up to like receive all that truth. And yeah, that's just like what makes me come so alive, just how powerfully the Holy Spirit can work just through his signs, through his wonders, and how also just it really broke my paradigm, because I really like thought that only like, you know, Padre Pio's and Saint Anthony of Padua's like saw healing and miracles like that. And really that's like, no, I mean, it's just every ordinary, like sincere believer, God wants to flow through them.
I'm into that.
Yeah,
it says, you know, you quoted Mark where it says these signs will accompany those who believe, right? It doesn't say these signs will accompany just the saints that are canonized, right?
Yeah.
Like this, you have to be dead to be a saint. So like, before Padre Pio was Padre Pio or Saint Padre Pio, right? He was a Christian believer, and these signs will accompany those who believe, and you laid hands on them and they were healed. So was it easy for you, David, to lay hands? Like the first couple times you started doing it, how did you overcome the fear, or maybe was there any doubt?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's definitely like fear and fear of like just not seeing anything. A whole bunch of different things. Also, like, you know, I was a friar with a community that kind of had like a reputation for not really doing these kinds of things. So I was like, oh man, like, what are people going to be saying around the community? And like, but I think just the hunger for seeing God manifest his love overcame those fears. And also, I think what's really helped me a lot is just going deeper and deeper in my identity as a beloved son of the Father, because like no matter what, that like that protects me when people do not like just like won't have any of it and like, you know, give you the cold shoulder. I'm just able to be like, all right, Dad, that was for you anyways. Like, you know, like that, it doesn't matter, because I have my affirmation from him. And then also, you know, when you do see like really awesome things, it's like, it's still like, no, I mean, seeking your face is the most important thing. And that's what really satisfies me. And just, I don't know.
It's amazing.
So, David, I have a question. Like, you know, we have a listener that's listening, and maybe their paradigm is being shifted right now, and it just seems crazy that, number one, I don't know if there's doubt that, like, is David telling the truth? Like, did these people actually get healed? And one of the things I love is that miracles, healings, signs, wonders, the things that Jesus did, they make Jesus so real that it forces you to make a decision. That I love apologetics, that famous trilemma. Jesus claimed to be God. He's either he's either a liar, he's either crazy, or he's telling the truth. But when we see a miracle and someone's testifying, they're like, oh my gosh, my head's healed, or my leg's healed, my neck's healed, we have to make the same decision. They're either lying about being healed, they're crazy about being healed, or Jesus Christ really healed them.
Amen.
It makes that trilemma incarnate and present right there.
Yeah.
And so I pray that if you're listening, that there's a hunger that's being stirred up. But I know there's blocks of fear, David. Okay, what blocks of fear did you have to go for to praying for physical healing like this?
Yeah, so I think the big block was just fear of rejection, right? Fear that like they just wouldn't respond well, they wouldn't want to receive prayer, and they just wouldn't want to have it. But then I think the other one, right? So there's like human respect, I think, right? And just like caring about the opinions of others. But then also, and I realized that this block was there, because I think a lot of the times when I first started praying, I wouldn't ask people to try it out or check it out. And I really think that's a very beautiful thing to do, because it's almost a litmus test for your faith. Because like, sure, like I could feel really good about myself if I like, okay, I stepped out, engaged someone in conversation, prayed for them, and been like, all right, have a good day, but like never asked them like, did you actually like experience healing? And then so I remember having a fear of asking people what's going on, try it out, because then I knew that they could always say it's the same, it's exactly the same, you know, nothing's different.
What would you do if people like weren't healed?
I think like early on it was like, oh, okay, like God loves you, you know. But as time went on, I realized that, like, you know, sometimes you need to just like pray multiple times. And I've seen so many awesome healings. Like, you know, first time I pray, nothing happens. And then pray again, and then breakthrough. And then, so yeah, second, third, yeah, it's really cool because it's a little bit of a test when you do have to like go back and pray for it again. But, there's just so much fruit in persevering. I feel like sometimes it's like a wall and like, you know, sometimes like prayer can just like break that wall down in one hit, but sometimes it's you have to go after
and
it
also,
more.
I think it's important when you pray for healing, not to be presumptive and like make promises like, "Hey, can I pray for you because you will get healed?" You know, when we make promises or get presumptive before we pray for healing, I think that's when problems can happen.
Yeah, sure.
But what's a way, David, that you could propose to pray for someone without being presumptive?
Yeah, I mean, I've said like various things at like various times, right? So lately I've just been saying like, "Hey, you know, I go to a church that prays for healing. Can I pray for you?" Or just like, you know, I've been seeing God do amazing things through prayer and you know, I've seen people be healed. So can we just give it a shot, you know? And I think if there's like a little bit of like, "Oh, I don't know," then like, yeah, I mean, you can always just say like, "What's the worst that can happen?"
Yeah,
right?
Like nothing.
Yeah, that's right. So it's always a win-win. And also what I've experienced is just how people always just feel loved no matter what. And it's always just like a really beautiful experience. And sometimes God... I've seen it where like he doesn't bring about physical healing, but like person gets like slain in the spirit and just gets like rocked.
Does that mean
by
the
God.
Holy Spirit brings a sword from heaven and chops him in half? I don't know what that means.
Yeah, yeah. No, it just I think it's just like an experience where someone just gets so overwhelmed by the presence and the love of God that he just kind of lays them out and lets them just receive and rest in his love. So
good.
Yeah, if I could just say one more thing, it's just that, like, all, like, this experience, it's just been, like, the most incredible, like, adventure, and I just, like, I couldn't write, you know, like, a better adventure that God could have me on, and what's, like, there's, like, one message, it's just that God wants to do the same thing and even greater things in every single person that listens to this. Like, yeah, whether it is freedom from addictions or whether it, and particularly like, I mean that, but also just like the power, evangelism, the healings, the signs, the wonders, and the miracles. Like, he just wants to use everyone who's willing to let him use them to flow, let his love just flow upon his people and heal and touch them.
And if you want to learn more about power evangelization, supernatural ministry, these elements of our faith, which are our heritage, read the book of Acts. And also, if you want to get training and learn more, you can go to, we have a school of ministry. It's www.encounterschool.org that Dan and I and now David are a part of. But we're going to close with prayer. Dan, will you lead us?
Yeah, just before we close in prayer, I just want to bring us back to Our Lady at Cana. This, like, David, you've just given a great example of what we're called to do, right? That Our Lady just trusted in Jesus, and she received the overshadowing of the Holy Spirit, and then that brought Christ into the world in a very incarnate way. And then Our Lady saw the needs, and she brought them to Jesus at the wedding feast of Cana, and then Jesus, they just do whatever he tells you. And if you have a fear of doing what Jesus is telling you to do, I just pray that Jesus would free you from those fears. So, Lord, we just come to you right now. We ask that all fears would be gone in the name of Jesus. All fear of evangelization, all fear of praying over people, praying for people would be gone in the name of Jesus, that you would bring freedom, Lord. I pray that we would be more bold in our discipleship, more bold in our evangelization. Just open doors, open our eyes so that we see people day to day in the store, in the marketplace, out in the street, and we just ask them, "Can I pray for you? Come, Holy Spirit. Make us evangelists, Lord, spirit-filled evangelizers who are without fear." We pray all this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us on Encounter. If you want to learn more about our show or share your life-changing encounter with Jesus with our audience, please visit encounterradio.org. That's encounterradio.org. This has been a co-production of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Thank you so much, David, for joining us today. And we'll see you here next week.